Hello, and welcome to Parking Thought. I'm Jacob, and I'm glad you're here today. Today we've got a couple of episodes and a bit of background noise. Once again, I am trying to test out using the iPad that I've got here, see how that works. Yesterday's audio quality wasn't too bad. I've published worse, and so while I'm not trying to torture the audience by publishing something that's not quite good, I do not have the same threshold for professionalism that other podcasts have. This is still very much a hobby project, and you guys are very much a part of helping me learn from that project. So it's a lot of fun. And I'll release this episode using the same microphone that we've got here and see if I can get the audio quality to where I'm comfortable with it before releasing it. Now, I do have a very energetic dog next to me. We might call him a puppy, but he's really about 2.5, 3 years old at this point. And he decided that his toys and some of the other things he's interested in are really important today. So he's up and down. You might hear him in the background. He's currently grooming himself, licking part of his paw. And he's a good dog. We've talked about him before. His name is Kostka, K-O-S-T-K-A. It's a Polish word, and it refers to the ankle bone, or the bone that you have in your ankle. And sometimes that word can be used to refer to the entire ankle itself, which makes him an ankle biter. And now I know that's a bit of a stretch because not most people in the States who I come in contact with understand any Polish at all. That is about the only word of Polish I remember. And, so it's not a really useful name, but it's a good sounding name for a dog, especially this dog. So as we've been cooped up with COVID on our side, we've been finding little things that we can do. We are about to finish our last 1,000-piece puzzle that we have in the house. We only have three. I thought of throwing them away a few months ago, and turns out I'm glad I didn't. I'm kind of glad to have them around. This current puzzle is of a scene of some boys playing football in the fall out in a farmer's field with some girl holding a dog watching on. Very much the idealistic New England sort of scene or Midwestern sort of scene that might have occurred back in the day. There is a part of it that does remind me of growing up in New England. There's a beautiful spot in Connecticut where I spent quite a few of my teenage years, and I do kind of have some great memories of that, and I miss that at times. Living in Idaho, there is significantly fewer trees in this part of the state where I'm at, and significantly fewer hardwood trees. We had a lot of oak trees in Connecticut, and different climate, different weather, that sort of thing. I'm in the right spot where I'm at in my life, but it's one of those things where, you know, I have good memories of the past. I could have retired in Connecticut if I wanted to and gone back there, but I just couldn't afford to live in the state. It's not really possible with the taxes that they have, and finding work and other things like that would have presented some challenges I wasn't able to deal with at the time. Those of you who've been longtime listeners know I've been dealing with PTSD, and at the point that we moved here, I was very much a non-functioning adult. And, that would have been difficult to try to move in the non-functioning adult stage to a new place with all the risks involved. And so I didn't. And so we're here. All right, so back to our COVID lockdown, finishing this puzzle thing. One of the show topics we have for today is to explain to you guys the pickle juice equation. And so for the fun of it, I have a teenage boy that we can challenge to do stupid things. He's going to do them anyway. And so maybe I'm encouraging it too much. I'm not sure, but it's just kind of fun. So I've been really enjoying pickles recently. And, the kosher dill type, the little ones, those are just great. And so I've been enjoying those. And when I finish a pickle jar, I'll look at him and I'll say, "Son, I'll pay you $2 to drink the rest of the pickle juice." And he was desperate enough to do it, wanted to try it. So he drank the rest of the pickle juice for $2. And then I finished another jar of pickles after a week or so. I'm not eating pickles all the time. But after a while, I finished another jar yesterday, and his younger sister wanted to get money from drinking the pickle juice. And so I said, "Okay, well, we need to figure out how much your older brother weighs and how much you weigh, and you will get paid proportional to the size that you are to your brother." And now typically you might think that, you know, because the 10-year-old girl weighs significantly less than the 15-year-old boy, that I'd be paying the 10-year-old girl less. And it's actually the reverse, right? So however many times the weight that her older brother is how much that she would get paid. So it was something like 2.6 times or something like that. So she was going to get $5.25 if she drank it all. She took a look at it, she took a sip of it, and she said, "No way, man." And so the boy that's in the middle of the two of them thinks he's going to throw his name in the hat. We do the math on how much he would earn, right? And it was something like, you know, $3 or something like that. And so he wasn't interested at that price either. And so essentially, we're just going to dump the pickle juice and call it a day and move on with life. And that's okay. But in the meantime, we did math. And for kids that are not really responding to homeschooling or Khan Academy or some of those other things, getting them to do the math about the pickle juice was a bit different way to get them to do math. But at least we got them to do math. So it was kind of fun. So that's one of the show topics I wanted to share with you guys is the pickle juice equation. And maybe you have something like that in your homes and in your own families. And if you want to, leave a comment over on YouTube when this is posted there, or leave a comment on the website. And I'd love to hear about some of the things you guys are doing. The second topic I have for you is the War of the Screwdrivers. And I'm not sure if you're aware that this actually occurred and in some ways is still going on. But we had to change a couple of light switches, and thanks to online shopping, I was able to order the exact light switches I needed to for the ones that are broken. House is about 3 years old now, and so you're going to have those things where, you know, something just wasn't quite manufactured right or will break over time from fair wear and tear. So we had two light switches that went out in this house, and one was in the master bathroom, and the other one was the one for the pantry next to the kitchen. And it's no wonder why the one for the pantry next to the kitchen went out. That is precisely in the location and precisely the one that we're always turning off and on. And so it's understandable. The switch wears out and then we change it. So we got to teach the kids how you turn off things by the breaker, and then you go over and you change out the wiring and you make sure that the wires match as you go from one thing to the next, and how you do that. It worked out really well as a lesson for everybody. What's interesting, though, is when you change out the light switch, you have to go from a flathead screwdriver on the outside when you're dealing with the faceplate, and then you use a Phillips head screwdriver on the inside. Or at least that's the way it is in the States. And for those of you who are my Canadian listeners, I think we have 3 or 4 of you guys now. I'm not sure, but I'm glad everybody up in Canada is listening to this, or that is listening to this, is, you know, doing that. In Canada, they use the Roberts head screwdrivers for a lot of these things. It's a square head, right, for the screwdriver, and then obviously the female side of that would be a square on the screwdriver head. And the experience is significantly different between using the Roberts screwdriver and the Phillips head screwdriver. And both emerged about the same time, let's say early 20th century, and both were designed to solve specific problems. And one of the specific problems they were trying to solve was in the manufacturing, when you wanted to automate screwdriving equipment, right? When you want to have a machine do the screwing for an automobile or something else like that, when you automate that, you need to have the ability for it to be a solid connection and for it to be something that you can have a machine do. And so each of the people behind this technology, and there were two people behind it, you had Phillips on one side and Roberts on the other. And each of these guys looked at the problem in different ways and solved it in different ways. And it's kind of neat. I'll link to a YouTube video that describes this in greater detail. It's about 10 minutes long. It's really pretty short. And the guy who does the YouTube video is wearing a bow tie and sounds very authentic, you know, so it's kind of fun. It's a neat sort of thing. But the lesson to draw from it, or the lesson I wanted to share with you guys to draw from it, is that nobody's destined for success. I mean, yeah, sure. Okay, we know what the Phillips head screwdriver is in the state, right? It's the one with the crosshatch, and there's different sizes of Phillips head screwdrivers, and they're standardized across the board, et cetera, et cetera. And it's significantly better than the flathead in a lot of ways because you don't slide out. You know, your screw doesn't slide out. You're less prone to cutting yourself, as I've done before, by the way, with a flathead screwdriver because of the way something was engineered in the Army. My hand got all infected. It was really bad. At the time as well. Something about metal shards being in the body is not a good thing. I think it was aluminum, so it wasn't as bad as it could have been. Anyway, as you're following along, what I'm getting at here, though, is the Phillips head becoming the dominant screwdriver in the United States was not destined to happen, right? And the Roberts head screwdriver becoming the dominant one in Canada was not destined to happen. It happened because of significant and lots of different factors that led to it. You know, we look at what we have today and we say, oh, Amazon was destined to happen. No, Amazon was not destined to happen. Those guys worked really hard to get to the point where I could do the online shopping for those, you know, light switches that I wanted to have, right? Disney was not destined to happen. Disney's history and past is not riddled with perfect decisions and the golden brick road laid out in front of them. And they got to where they're at the end of their life by working hard. They got to where they're at now by working hard. We're at the point where we're being asked with this COVID thing to work hard, to think hard, to do hard things. You know, we're not destined to have success. We're choosing the small, good choices that will lead to it. And at the end of our lives, you know, when people look us up in a book and do that family history thing and say, what, you know, what did this person do? What did they deal with? Wow, that person was a great person in my family line. Because we may not be famous. We may not create Disney. We may not have a screwdriver head named after us, right? But they'll look back at our family line and say, wow, this is what that person was dealing with. And when we have those human qualities where it just hurts and it's hard, it's okay, you know, because again, nobody's destined for the success in their future. We work and earn it. And right now, if you're having a tough day, you're working to earn that success. You're working to be that person who is somebody else's hero. And just recognizing that might help you get through it today. I'll link to the Phillips and Roberts head screwdriver thing. I think you guys will enjoy that video. I also want to once again invite you all to fast. The leader of our church, we call him a prophet, right? The leader of our church, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, has invited us to invite all of our friends to fast with us on Friday. So that's tomorrow. And that would be to go without two meals. You can fast however you want to, however you're physically capable. But the idea is to go without two meals. And while going without those two meals, to pray on behalf of those who are dealing with COVID, for the economic relief that we need in the world from it, for the, you know, physical relief from it, for the medical professionals who are working hard to combat the disease, to be able to pray for those things and to unify with others to do so. I mentioned this invitation and extended it to a friend of mine who's Catholic, and she said, Jacob, I'm Catholic. I mean, we always fast on Good Friday. She's like, I'm inviting you to fast with me. I said, okay, fine, not a problem. So it looks like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is joining the Catholic Church for this Friday, one day only, right, to be able to fast for the relief of COVID. And I think leaders of both of those churches have been inspired. And I hope that I've gotten this invitation. I know it's the end of the podcast. Hopefully you're still listening. And I hope I've gotten this invitation out to you where you will consider it. And if nothing else, say a prayer. My wife was informing me that there's a Facebook group that started up right after the invitation from our prophet was announced. And that Facebook group has had lots of people who are not faith motivated, but who wanted to contribute. And so who are choosing to go without those two meals and plan on donating the money they would have spent on those two meals to a charity that will make a difference in the world. And so regardless of your physical health or not, regardless of your financial situation or not, this is something everybody can participate in at some level. And right now, feeling connected to others is a good thing. So I'd like you to feel connected by inviting you to fast, if you would. Well, let's wrap this episode up. As usual, if you liked it, share it with somebody else that you know. As we talked about yesterday, part of the reason for doing that, especially on social media, is the idea that we're going to train the algorithms to find gratitude and curiosity, because I don't think they're built for it these days. If you want to subscribe, you can search for us in your podcast app, on YouTube, or just head on over to parkingthought.com where we have those links ready for you. And remember, in a world where you can choose to be anything, well, why not choose to be grateful?